Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
You have offended
this podcast,
and you have offended
the entire movie making community.
Am I the meanest? Am I the prettiest? Baddest smoke folk low down around this time.
You have found it. This is You Have Offended This Podcast. We are the biggest, the baddest, and the best martial arts movie podcast kicking around these parts of the internet. My name is Mike McCarron, and with me, as always, is a man who once forged himself a set of metal arms but used them for an entirely different purpose than this movie, Chad Lindsay. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I broke my wiener. I'm good. This is a fun movie. It's got some cool stuff. It's got some music that's cool. It's not really one of my favorites, but I had a good time watching it. It's a fun little flick that's got a lot of good things going for it, but I don't think there was anything that was just like, man, that's the best I've seen in this particular genre, etc. You know what I'm saying?
I feel the same way. And I think I was trying to put my finger on why it didn't kind of blow my skirt up the way some of the other movies did. And I think, and I don't know, but I think it's because RZA, the director and the star of the movie, if you know anything about Wu-Tang Clan, he's a massive fan of old school kung fu movies.
Yeah.
Like, massive fan. Like, huge, huge, huge. And he used, obviously, a ton of references and callbacks in this movie to those ones. And those old school movies are movies that I think you and I have a bit of trepidation towards, only because of the wire work and the choreography, that pat, 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 pat kind of choreography. Mm. And this is exactly like that, except you kind of throw in this kind of weird steampunk kind of element to it, too.
Yeah, there's a little bit of steampunk, a little bit of... You know, in addition to the wire work, you've got the, like, some CGI work and stuff like that. I don't want to come across that I think there's anything bad about it.
No, I did enjoy it.
Not, like, it's, like, I have to say, like, I'm really impressed because, you know, RZA wrote, directed, and starred in it. So I think that I like the technical accomplishments of this film, and I like how this film, you know, the story of this film being put together and the way that it's put together. I think I like it better than the film itself.
Yeah. I like the idea of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. The making of Apocalypse Now is better than Apocalypse Now.
How dare you, sir? But yes,
yeah,
I agree.
Yes. Well, I'm just saying, and again, there's nothing wrong with it. There's some stuff in here that I think is really cool that I was like, fuck, I really liked that. But just overall, I didn't walk away thinking like, man, that was one of the best martial arts movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But I was, again, more impressed with the technical accomplishments, I think, than the story moved me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think the same way. And this is another one of those movies where I was kind of checking the time partway through because I wasn't really fully kind of wrapped up in it. But I love everybody in it. Like, Riz is cool.
Yeah.
Fucking Lucy Liu's awesome. Russell Crowe's great. Kung Lee does a good job.
Batista.
Yeah. Rick Yoon is awesome. Byron Mann's fucking great as Silver Fox. Like, there's some really good stuff and good people in here. You can kind of tell, I think, where RZA worked with Eli Roth on the story, because you can see the kind of gore that Roth brings to it. Like,
yeah, there's some... Yeah.
So, there, yeah, you can definitely tell.
It's that gore that's not disturbing, but it's comical gore.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a comical element to the gore for the most part. But early in this film, I will say again, like, the technical aspects of the film, like, I thought were great. There's a beheading that looks legit. Like,
yeah,
I was like,
is.
They fucking killed a guy.
Like,
RZA killed a guy.
Like, you might want to
know. Again, I don't want to come across that I disliked it, because I did not dislike it. It's just, hey, that was pretty good. Hey, man, that was pretty good. That was a good time, and I had fun watching it.
Yeah, man. All right, let's roll. This movie here starts off kind of with RZA as the blacksmith, the central character, Thaddeus. making some weapons and kind of going through his little origin story. And then it's kind of intercut with that giant first fight scene with Kung Lee beating the living shit out of those, the Wolf Clan or whatever. It's the Wolf Clan, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the Wolf Clan and the Lions. Like, I actually really liked that. I liked the costumes that were put together. I loved the way they looked. I liked Gold Lion. I fucking loved Gold Lion's hair.
Gold Lion's and hair typically was dope. It was cool. Yeah.
Typically in films, like, I'm always like, yeah, the fucking hair looked bad. The mustache looked bad. But this, like, I actually thought, I was like, fuck, man, if I was going to, like, come up with a fucking nickname for this cat, Gold Lion is the perfect, like, they nailed it. Like, they absolutely nailed it. I thought it was awesome. And I loved the fucking wolf. Like the wolf skins and the wolf heads and stuff like that. I thought it was really, really good for a film that didn't have a huge, huge budget. I think it was like 15 and they made 20.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
They did a lot with that. Yeah. They did a lot with that. I think they made it for 15 and worldwide it brought in 20 million.
Yeah.
So they made a very tiny profit, but
enough to do a part two.
Really
though.
Good use of the money.
Yeah. They did a part two a couple years later. So. It made enough and there was enough interest to actually swing back around through again and take another swing at it. So we'll have to hit part two at some point. But yeah, man, I like the weapons that they used. They had those cool, like, open mouth metal wolf mouths that, like, tore the heart out of one dude.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There was some cool shit there, man. And initially we get the betrayal of Gold Lion where he gets poison darted in the neck. And the effect is cool where they shoot them in the neck and then you can see the poison kind of going out and spreading.
I thought that was really cool too. Like the poison dart goes in and you actually see the poison traveling through the body. Like I thought that was, I thought it was awesome. And it's up probably done in post. It was probably like a compositing type effect, but
yeah.
it sold really well. They used it a couple of times in
they
the
do,
film
yeah,
and
when
it
they,
looks great.
When they kill the Gemini twins later, you get a good look at that too. But, so Gold Lion is the father of this other dude named X-Blade. Zhen Yi, his name is, but they call him X-Blade. Played by Rick Yoon. There's two future Bond villains in this. Rick Yoon was in Die Another Day, and then Batista from Spectre. So both.
Oh,
of them,
yeah.
Right? They both get to play, good guy, bad guy here, because they're kind of against each other. But Golden Lion is the father of Zhen Yi, or X-Blade here, and he gets word that his father was assassinated. Now he has to go off and avenge his father against the wishes of his fiance, right? That's the girl he's going to marry that they're getting tattooed
together. Like,
Chi-Chi, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, absolutely beautiful.
She's great, yeah. And then Silver Lion, played by Byron Mann, like we said, takes over the mantle of the Lion group. Holds up the championship belt there in front of everybody. Byron Mann's fucking awesome in this movie. He just eating scenery, man. He's fucking awesome. I love that dude. He was in, he's been in Street Fighter with Van Damme. We're going to see him again because he was in Absolution with Seagal. He was in A Dangerous Man with Seagal. Some of the dog shit Seagal ones we're going to hit later, where I'm sure he's the bright point. But he's fucking awesome in this.
Yes.
I love him.
Yeah, so essentially it was Golden Lion that was supposed to transport this massive amount of gold for the governor, and that's what got him killed by Silver Lion and Bronze Lion.
Betrayed by his own men!
Betrayed!
Betrayed!
It actually, like, again, I think the pacing of the film is pretty good, but there's a point where it kind of drifts, and I think that maybe... Because later we're going to be introduced to Russell Crowe's character.
Yes. Jack Knife.
Yeah, Jack Knife. I think it's a pacing thing because I'm not saying like, hey, take Russell Crowe out. But there's kind of pockets of the film where I'm like really getting invested. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're off with Russell Crowe for a little while.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a couple of movies playing here that more intersect, which I think might be part of the problems that I had that I didn't quite dig, but I like how the Wolf Clan goes and they're like, make these wolf claw weapons for us.
Blacksmith.
And, RZA starts making these cool weapons, which I was kind of digging. And then we get, you know, Russell Crowe shows up and then we kind of go on his story arc. And there's, I don't know. Like, I like the character that he played. He's kind of a dick. He goes into the Pink Blossom, which is the local hua house.
Here.
I think we just kind of stay there a little too long.
Yeah, and I find myself in a bit of a pickle here because I don't want to come across as though I'm like, oh my god, I want to see all these naked women. But I don't want to see gratuitous naked women. If it fits the story,
yeah,
then you kind of have to have it for realism, right? Like,
so yeah, there's the moment that, you know, you would call gratuitous when Russell Crowe's muff diving underwater and comes out and he's got fucking anal beads coming out of his fucking mouth and you're like, all right, that's
a little much.
All right. That's a bit much.
Didn't have to do that a little bit.
Don't know if I, yeah, that's kind of where it kind of
agree with that.
But yeah. And I mean, you know, it's okay. But like I said, I found that kind of a little distracting. Like, oh, Russell Crowe's going to have crazy kinky Kama Sutra sex for like 15 minutes, you know, and you're like,
yeah, but like you're in a whorehouse. There's women literally having sex on camera and on stage and bathing, and you never see a boob.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, they're literally wrapped up or wearing tops the whole time. And I was like, okay, cool. Are you going for a PG rating? Like, that's fine. But then you also got dudes' necks being torn apart and heads flying off. Like,
yeah,
pick a thing. Do you know what
plugs,
I mean?
Butt plugs in the mouth.
Butt plugs in the mouth and whatnot. Like, if you're going to show that, like, maybe show a titty, because they are in a whorehouse. Like, it's not like you're doing it gratuitously, like, at the end of that Seagal flick. Like, I don't know. I feel like a perv saying that, but I'm like, you know what? Do you remember in Sin City when, I think it was Jessica Alba the one stripping? Is that right?
Nancy. Well, she wasn't. She was.
But it was,
she
was, it Jessica
was
Alba
like a
was
go-go the, dance.
But it was Jessica Alba on stage. But she was, like, wearing chaps and a fucking t-shirt. Like, what are you doing? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and she was spinning, like, a cowboy rope and shit. Yeah, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, where that would have fit. Whereas, like, somebody, like, a really, really great actress, like Marissa Tomei, you get her in a movie like The Wrestler, and she plays a stripper, and she's naked in it because that's what the fucking character is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, if it fits the character, do it. It just didn't work for me here because there was these two weird levels of everybody's clothed all the time. But here's this guy's intestines that Russell Crowe fucking guts that fat dude in the restaurant. Like,
yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, fat hippo is a fucking piece of shit. Fuck him. Dump him out back. Fuck him. Like,
yeah, so I mean? Fat hippo, he kind of reminded me of King Hippo from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out on the original Nintendo.
Yeah. 100. I was trying to put my finger on that fucking dude, and I was like, who is that guy?
Yeah.
King Hippo. Fuck yeah.
They call me Crazy Hippo, and I was like, I think that's King Hippo. But yeah, Russell Crowe's like, hey, this is kind of where I kind of found it weird tonally because, you know, they're all in a whorehouse and Russell Crowe is in the whorehouse to get some aish.
Oh, is he?
And
yeah, yeah.
King Hippo is there and he's just like, I'm taking this woman, King Hippo, so she doesn't have to fuck your fat, ugly ass. And then King Hippo kind of stands up and is like, I keep going with King Hippo. Crazy Hippo stands up and he's just like, hey, you're a piece of shit, Russell Crowe. And then Russell Crowe viscerates him.
Yeah, like literally guts the dude with his big fancy gun knife.
Yeah, and Lucy Liu, like, she's kind of like smiles, like, oh.
She's like, ha, 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 ha,
ha. And it's like, delightful. No, she's the business owner. She'd be just like, hey, the guy fucking hadn't paid yet. Like,
and now I got to steam clean my carpet to get his fucking piss and shit out of the carpet, dude. And blood.
I mean, like, if I was a customer, like, you know, two tables over, I'd be like, excuse me, this shit is giving me a hard off. Like, could you please?
I now have an innie cock.
Yeah, like committing murder. Like I'm here to have some drinks and hang with the ladies. I haven't seen a boob, but I have seen a fat guy get chopped in two with an electrical fucking jackknife.
And again, that big knife that he pulls out is a knife that looks like it was designed by somebody who wanted the knife to look scary but had no idea about knives.
Yeah.
Because it's got two points. Like it wouldn't work. Well, like, you know what I mean? And then later when he does the little pull the trigger, spin the blade thing, I'm like, well, that would fucking break.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? I don't know. Maybe I'm being picky, but it looks good. It looks kind of cool.
Remember we were watching that fucking knife training, knife self-defense video?
Oh, yeah.
And that one asshole just put a razor blade on the back of his driver's license
oh, fuck
and fucking slice and slash the cop. You're just like, jeez, like that. a razor blade taped to the back of a driver's license, so like 2 millimeters of the blade are out there.
Uh-huh.
Like, that scares me more than that Russell Crowe knife.
Oh, like, right. By a lot. Like, way more. Because you never see that until your fucking neck blood is spilling out over your stomach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you...
Fuck that.
Wait, was that a driver? Did I just... How did that driver's license cut me? Laying there dying. He must have had a razor blade taped to the back or something.
Spurt. Arterial spurt. Fuck, yeah. Man. Oh, well, this is my spot then. Fuck.
Dude, this is it. Fuck. That kid with the razor blade driver's license got me.
So, yeah, Russell Crowe guts Crazy Hippo, makes his big announcement. I'm here to fuck ladies and sleep in. And that's it. So leave me the fuck alone, everybody. Thank you very much. Good night.
Well, to be fair, everybody was leaving him the fuck alone.
True.
And
true.
It was only after he sliced a man in two that everyone stopped what they were doing and paid attention to him. Stop looking at me. Stop murdering.
Why don't you not
fucking
eviscerate customers, you fat
fuck.
Yeah,
you crazy fucking Aussie bastard.
You know, he was only on set for 10 days of this.
Honestly, that might, like, when I talked about the pacing problems, like you don't, it's like that last season of Arrested Development where, like, the entire cast is not on screen at the same time.
Right.
Like, they
They're
shoot.
All broken up.
Oh, here's Buster's episode, and here's Michael's episode, and here's Jessica Walter's episode. Like, I think that might be part of the problem. And, you know, you saying that he was only on set for 10 days kind of makes sense, because I feel a little bit lost as to, at some points, like, who is the protagonist of this film?
Yeah.
And what's their journey? Because I do kind of feel that we're introduced to RZA, and then we got Gold Lion, then we got Russell Crowe, Lucy Liu, and then, of course, we've got, you know, Gold Lion's son, Weapon X.
Yeah.
You know.
X-Blade, Weapon X, X-Star.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently Russell Crowe appeared in this movie in exchange for RZA giving rap lessons to a fucking rugby team that Crowe co-owns. I don't know if that's true or not. That's the story Word Round the Campfire says. And by Word
Sounds
Round
like
the Campfire, I mean IMDb trivia. So,
yeah.
I don't know how reliable that shit is.
But that's crazy.
Yeah. So he was in and out pretty quick. But yeah, he goes up. We get a little quick shot of Thaddeus, of RZA there and his girl. He shows up to the whorehouse. Apparently he has no problem with his girlfriend being a high-class hoe. He's cool,
yeah.
Cool with that. And then we get X-Blade here showing up to the Rat Clan in his badass spiky suit, and he just slices them.
This is
fork.
Fucking... This was pretty good, man. This was pretty good. I actually will say, like, I like this. There's a dude, and he ate a bunch of crab apples, so he's going to go rock a nasty shit. So he's fucking riding the X-1000 outside, like, you know, cramping. There's nothing worse than shit cramps. Like,
that's
true. Literally, like,
that is true.
Do you remember Pat Smith? Pat Smith in UFC 3.
Oh, yeah.
Had shit cramps, had to tap out. Like,
yep.
he won his
tough.
First match, but
he's
like,
tough as shit.
And he was tough, and he was just like, oh, I got shit cramps, Brian Killamine.
I'm out.
And Brian Killamine's like, well, that's what happens when you have shit cramps.
Yep.
Thank
you for coming.
But yeah, he fights these Rat Clan people, and he's running out in the bushes, and then a bunch of them jump out of the leaves, like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Kevin Costner film. And he dispatches them, and there's a dude, and he has a toe blade, and he just kicks his heels together, and the big fucking blade comes out, and he kicks that guy through the neck his foot-long blade, and then he holds it in there, and then when he pulls his foot out, the blood gushes out each side of his neck. I was like, that was real, like, that was done really, really well. Like,
that
the fighting is good. I thought that was well, and then the ending was fantastic.
Yeah, this is cool here. I like when he runs outside, and you can see the leaf piles zipping along as the two dudes zip out beside him.
Yeah.
And then they pop up and they go through the woods, and they get him in this suspended X pose where they're like holding him up, and the one guy tries to stab him with the push dagger, and he just drops his neck, and the blade comes out the back of his neck and shoots that guy right in the goddamn chest or some shit.
Yeah.
He's got blades coming out of blades coming out of blades in this suit.
Oh, yeah. He's like a goddamn porcupine.
Yeah.
Because he's standing there, and somebody grabs him, and then he just flexes, and spikies pop out of his armor in, you know, multiple directions. So It's cool. Again, like this, I kind of prefer more of the, like all martial arts films are fake, but
yeah,
I like the fake. Like I like my fake to be a cop running through a hockey arena, beating up 45 guys, that type of stuff, which literally is just as fake as somebody swinging through on wires.
Yeah.
But it's kind of my, you know, that side of the pendulum that I'm on.
Yeah, I like it.
I thought the stuff was good here.
I like it when the moves that you see in the movie are the fanciest, craziest shit you see in a real fight. Put those two together, and it's possible you can really do it, but it's kind of a once in a thousand time. Like, I don't know if you ever seen, there was a fight where, God damn it, I'm blanking on their names now. The Korean Zombie fought, God damn it, what's his name? Anyway, it was like the last second of round five, and Zombie was running in on this dude, and he bent down and threw an elbow kind of like up and back over his head. Like he bent forward and threw his elbow up and whap, and caught Zombie right in the face and knocked him out cold.
Really?
It was like 1 second left in the fight. It was fucking mental. And everybody was freaking out and didn't know what happened. And it was the craziest shit I've ever seen. But if you do that in a movie, I'd be like, fuck yeah. Like you can actually do that.
Yeah.
Whereas flying around with swords coming out of your asshole and shooting people in the face with your dick.
I
have a bit of a hard time with that.
And that's, you know, and that's just kind of genre preference. I mean, there's people that prefer it the other way. They're like, oh man,
for sure.
I love, you know, when they're flying and soaring through the treetops, sword fighting, like they're floating on the wind and shit. Like there's people that love that stuff. And
dragons flying
around.
I don't
dislike it. Yeah. It's just like, it's not my thing, but I actually love, they cut to the Wolf Clan, and the Wolf Clan's fucking, they're like throwing a rave or some shit, right? And they're fucking roasting rabbits, and they're fucking, you know, they're fucking popping, bouncing around. It's pretty cool.
I like that scene. And then we get the aforementioned Russell Crowe in the tub anal bead scene.
Yeah.
And Lucy Liu comes up to see if he needs anything. And they have a cool little scene here where he mentions in passing that he might like cut a girl in half or something.
Yeah.
And she like grabs his dick and is like, if you hurt my girls, I'm going to hurt your boys. Like, she's pretty cool, man. I like her. Like initially at the end of this movie, Russell Crowe was supposed to fight Kung Lee.
Oh.
Bronze Lion, I believe Kung Lee plays. But Crowe, because he was only on set for 10 days, he didn't have time to learn the choreography.
Oh, okay.
So they gave him this gun, and Lucy Liu actually convinced RZA to let her fight Kung Lee because she wanted, what's her face, Lady Madam Blossom here to be a badass and to show that, and she convinced him to have the fight scene with Kung Lee with her. And it worked out really well, actually. Her scene is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So Russell goes back in here and gets bizarre with these three or four or five or however many girls he's got in here. He's trying to do the Black Belt Jones, I'll take her, and her, and her.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a little tired today. You know?
Yeah.
He just comes in. He's put on some poundage since the Gladiator days, but I guess he's supposed to be on sabbatical or whatever the fuck from his army and the British Army thing that he's got going on here.
Yeah. I mean, we get a really cool shot of the Lion Clan just kicking the shit out of the Wolf Clan. And at the very end, Silver Lion has got this club, and Buddy's like, ah! And Silver Lion, like, beats him to death. Like,
oh, he
kills
him.
Ah. And then after he's dead, he's like, ah! Just kind of, like, mocking him. I thought that was so funny.
That was pretty funny.
I actually thought that was really good.
Fucking
like, it was dope.
So we get a couple scenes in there with RZA and the girls in the hot tub, and then Batista walks up, carries all these fucking kids around. And
yeah, that was pretty funny.
That was funny. They're climbing on him. I heard it mentioned in one of the reviews that it was funny that Batista's made of metal, eventually we find out, and all the kids are climbing on him like a jungle gym. That's the first scene you see of him, which is kind of cool. And you don't know yet that he's made of metal, or that he's like fucking Colossus from the X-Men.
Oh, yeah, Colossus. Yeah, he's got that titanium body or...
Nigh invulnerable body.
Adamantium body or whatever those, you know, those mithril or whatever fucking magical metal happens. You know, every goddamn universe has a magical metal.
Yes, his kryptonite body. But he goes in here and talks to the Wolf Clan and the Lion Clan. He goes in here and talks to the Lion Clan and makes a deal with them to help them get the gold, right? To get them, have them get the gold and pass it through Jungle City without incident and keep it for themselves and all that shit.
Yeah, and he basically shows that he's got a metal hand, and he's like, yes, knives have no effect on me. And they all do their villain laugh.
immediately cutting to X-Blade, and you're like, oh, well, he's fucked then. That guy can't do anything against this motherfucker.
Yeah, what the fuck? His blades are completely ineffective.
Knives have no effect on me. Well, all I have are knives. Oh, fuck.
Fuck.
God damn it. And then they cut back here to Russell Crowe in the brothel with his unconscious couple ladies, and he has to go?
Yeah, he sexed them so good that they're all passed out.
Yes, he's the man's man.
He's like white dynamite.
Right? He's got that hard
dick energy. Quiet, mama, you wake up the rest of the bitches.
Yeah, he's got like four girls in bed here, and he's like, they're all like passed out, and he's like, well, I have to go now. Enjoy using this speculum or whatever the fuck he's waving at them.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks like a fucking silver fucking blackjack or something.
Yeah, this was cool. You know what, dude? The sets in this movie are really good. I will
100%
give you that.
Yeah, the sets are amazing. Like, I wonder when you see sets like this where they had such a small budget, is this some sort of, you know, existing studio that, you know, they slipped into? I have no idea.
I think so. I know they filmed it in Shanghai, and I'm pretty sure they filmed it at a studio there. So I'm assuming they had at least some or most of these sets already built, and they can just kind of slide in and decorate them however they want for whatever purposes they're going to use them for.
Yeah.
Because they're really good. Like, a lot of the big outside, like, stonework and shit, I assume it's concrete, but, like, still, it looks awesome. Like, it looks really, really good.
Yeah, I like how X-Blade, they go into the restaurant and order the food, and I gotta tell you, the food looks delicious. Like, that's one of my big takeaways. I don't know who was doing the set design, but that looked like, that food looked amazing. I was like, fuck, that looks really good.
Yeah, I was into it. I was watching this like, have I had lunch yet? I could use some lunch. I'm gonna make some, maybe I'll order Chinese for lunch, because that shit looks good. All over it. Non-honky food. Bring it. And then we see RZA upstairs with his Goyle friend. And they're trying to sort their shit out, and they have a little love session here. RZA's pretty good on camera. He's a little flat at times, but that works for his character, I think.
Yeah, like, there's like, some issues. Like, this is supposed to be, you know, 100 years ago. Or more. And it's just like, he's narrating, he goes, that's when I decided I got to get the fuck out of here and bounce, baby. And it's like, wait,
wait a minute.
Then I got in my Lincoln and drove the fuck off.
Yeah, there's a little bit of modern slang chucked in there for good measure, but again, if there's a spinning knife blade, like, okay, we're in that place where we're alternate timeline.
We're here. Yeah. But this is where we first get Batista versus X-Blade. And I actually really liked it. Like, they're in an alley, and
all the kids run in here to the restaurant, to the performance, and they grab X-Blade.
Yeah.
And take him out to the back alley here. And when you get out to the alley, they kind of look up the alley here. And you see Batista, you see Brass Body here goes out and rips the throat out of this kid, and X-Blade freaks out and starts chucking knives at him, and they are just ricocheting his body. It's fucking cool.
First
looking.
Of all, like, that was like fucking Roadhouse. He ripped his throat out.
Yeah.
And then and he gave him the old, it would have been awesome if he just went Roadhouse. but yeah, he's throwing these blades. They're CGI blades, but they look pretty decent as he's running. I thought it was pretty dope and exciting. And then Batista fucking power bombs one of the guys and fucking kills him,
explodes, like, his face. It's awesome.
It's crazy. And then this is, of course, where we get the Batista has powers, because they hit him in the head with the sword, and his head turns gold because he has super armor.
It looks pretty great, man. It really does, like, the way they change him. And that slow motion, that slow motion punch to the face where it doesn't do anything. It's like somebody punched him in the face in high frame rate.
Yes.
Like, he just let himself get punched in the fucking face.
That's what it looks. It does not look fake.
Nope.
It looks like he really just got punched in the fucking face.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they did that one time. But then we get the full on body change where he throws X-Blade off of him and his whole body,
which I thought looked good too.
It looked awesome, man.
Like I really thought the effect looked really good. This is probably what got him the role as Drax, because you know Drax has got that body, that you know, that super strong body that you know, skin doesn't get penetrated. So this might have been that what led him to get that role, because he fucking looks cool as shit.
And he's jacked. He's jacked, jiggity act.
Oh yeah.
And he turns that corner, and after he does that double palm strike, and gets him in, gets X-Blade in there after he tears his suit off. Like, it's good, man.
Yeah, imagine that coming at you. You'd be like, ah, shit.
Peace and
shit. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Peace and out. And then they drop the goddamn tile pagoda thing on him, which is pretty good.
I thought that was awesome. Like, his brother's on the ground, and he knows that, you know, he's about to kill X-Blade. So he takes his belt off, throws it around one of the supporting poles, and basically pulls the building down on top of Batista and himself.
And it looks heavy. Like, when it drops, that shit had some weight to it.
Yeah. Yeah, that looked really, really good.
Yeah.
And that just basically gave, you know, enough time for RZA to run out and scoop him up and hide him.
Steal him away.
Golden body. Brass
body,
boy.
Brass boy. Brass ball.
Brass balls. And a set of brass balls this big.
Yeah, so they take him. There's a nice matte painting, or it looks like a matte painting anyway, where they go into that big Chinese castle. And then they roll in here. This is our introduction now to the Gemini twins, who arrive with the governor's gold here. Mm. And they do not last long in this movie. For such a cool naming, like, oh, there's the Gemini twins and they're badass. Like, they get killed in like 8 minutes here, right?
Yeah, like, really, the only person that died quicker would have been Scatman Carruthers when he showed up to the Overlook Hotel in The Shining. Remember he walked in and said, hello?
Hello?
And Nicholson stuck an axe in his chest? Thunk. Oh, shit. That was like a fucking flight and like a 13-hour drive up a mountain in a snowstorm just to get killed in the foyer. Like, fuck.
Damn it! And then we get our shot of, who's that, Dennis? What's his name?
Hell yeah.
The guy that greets the Gemini twins. He's been in a couple movies that we've done. Pretty awesome. I enjoyed seeing him. And
He looked good too with
he looks great.
You know, time passing. He looks really, really good.
And they bring all the gold in here. And then we get talk to me about this scene where they're making Russell Crowe up to look Chinese. And he ends the scene by saying, me Reiki very much. What the fuck is that about?
Just a second. What?
I'm gonna pause my movie, hang on.
That was not in my version.
There's a bunch of the girls that he's with, Russell Crowe, and they have these big fucked up Chinese eyebrows on him, and they're making him look Chinese. And then when they finish, they show him a mirror and he says, me Reiki very much. I was like, we're just throwing fucking casual racism in here? What the fuck?
Wow. No, I didn't. Jesus.
Yeah, that's in my version. And,
fuck.
Enough said. And then the fucking silver, the lion gang comes into where the Gemini twins are here.
Yeah, that's how my version goes. My version shows the lion gang shows up. There's no Russell Crowe in fucking Asian makeup making racist comments.
Oh, yeah, it's in mine. They left that shit in. And Silver Lion comes in here with his cool fucking steampunk sunglasses.
I know. He comes in. He looks like a fucking background singer for Prince.
He totally
does. Revolution.
Like he should be playing bass?
With those little steam... Yeah, like those little steampunk glasses. He looks like he should be part of the revolution.
He could very easily just slide into that role and be very happy with that. But he just starts, Silver Lion just starts munching on snacks here in front of the Gemini twins. Kung Lee standing there menacingly, and the Gemini twins are just looking at him and being all angry because they don't want to give up the gold. That's their charge now, is to keep track of it. And Silver Lion's like, how about you guys give us the gold and you can both fuck straight off and we won't kill y'all. And the Gemini twins aren't taking that. And,
Well, I mean, you know, if their job is to protect the gold.
Yeah.
Like,
and they have guys outside fighting.
I like how he comes in and he's got that fucking claw that he took from the Wolf Clan there. That just, that, that staff with the big fucking metal hand on it. Can you imagine what you would do to somebody with that?
Oh,
like,
dude,
not even like, not even like, oh, I'm going to swing it like a Louisville slugger, but just kind of just holding it and jabbing it straight
like,
out into someone's face.
Yeah, like poke it.
With those little metal fingers.
Stick it like, right up your nose. Like, get like, holy Jesus.
Ding, 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 ding. Like, oh my God, you'd fuck somebody up royally.
Yeah.
Or just swing it straight down onto the instep of their foot as they walk towards you. Like,
can you imagine? That, wham!
That fuck you up. I want, like, I've never seen that weapon anywhere but here, but
no.
Anyway, they get into a cool little scrap here with the Gemini, and of course, when the guy picks up his sister and swings her around and her skirt blows up and she's got this fucking four-barreled fucking steampunk gun on her thigh that she fucking pulls the trigger and blows the guy away. I thought it was pretty badass, man.
That was cool, but then they both jump downstairs and they latch their weird swords together and end up in the Gemini stance, where he's standing and she's on top of him in that weird upside-down crisscross thing.
Yeah.
And then she just runs around. Like, that was weird and off-putting, but I guess it was cool for the movie. And she ran around and kicked them all. It was all right.
Yeah, it's like low-budget Matrix.
Yeah.
You know. But then the goddamn crossbow guys, like, the I will say, again, the crossbows look great. Like,
they were fucking
the bolts,
cool, yeah.
You know, they're getting hit with the bolts, and they look real. Obviously, they must have done that with CGI, but they still look real. Like, they still look like they move like actual arrows.
Yes. They were cool when Silver Lion fights with his metal lion claw hands. And he's fighting the Gemini twin with the sword, that fucking weird half a yin-yang sword.
Yes.
It was pretty cool, man. Like, there's some good choreography here. Even with the girl Gemini twin fighting whoever that other part of the Wolf Clan is, there's some cool sword shit in there, man.
Yeah, there really is. Like, I think she fought Bronze Lion and Silver Lion's fighting the other one. But I fucking absolutely love those metal claws he had. I thought they were great. He rips that guy's throat out too. Like, this
he sure does.
RZA made fucking Asian Roadhouse. Like,
he did.
That's what he made. It's pretty awesome. There's several throats getting ripped out, which look pretty badass, man.
But then sadly, female Gemini twin gets darted twice, once in the neck and once in the thigh, and the spider web poison goes all through her. And then a bunch of the other guys get darted by this dude coming through the window. Not the window, the little rice paper wall or whatever. And then other Gemini twin gets neck darted, and that's a fucking wrap, son. So.
Yeah. He's like, who darted my sister? He's like, ugh. Oh.
Which,
fuck,
you know.
It was him. He also darted me.
Not the smartest thing to do.
Yeah.
Sticking your head up. Hey, who did that?
Hey.
Thunk. Like, oh, man. God damn it.
Put your attention on me for a moment.
Strategically unsound. Fuck. But yeah, so the Wolf Clan here takes all the goddamn gold and strolls out the goddamn front door and walks out. Peace.
Yeah, I mean, they had that little half yin-yang sword that when they put it together, it made the yin-yang. And they die, and they actually do. He actually does a cool shot, like an over-the-head shot of the two of them dead, laying, their arms holding hands in the same shape of the yin-yang.
So that was cool.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
that.
Okay, RZA's got skill. I can't say enough good things about the technical aspects of this film and, you know, the way it's put together. The shots are good. The costumes are great. The sets are great. You know, I just didn't quite feel super, super love towards it. But I will say that he did an excellent job putting this whole thing together. Like, good
oh, my God. For a first-time director, I mean, he's been in a ton of stuff. Most of his credits, RZA has like 71 credits. Most of them are music videos, obviously, from Wu-Tang. But like, he knows what he's doing behind a camera. He's been there enough with videos. He's done enough research with respect to watching and studying and analyzing these movies. Like, he knows what's up. So
yeah, for sure.
When you put him behind there, it's very noticeable that he has a vision and he has something he wants to achieve. And he gets that across very, very well. So
I really have nothing
but respect for the guy, really.
Yeah.
So yeah, Russell Crowe shows up here to the restaurant and we get Dennis Chan again here showing up and saying it's closed. And Russell Crowe walks in and you can see on his face here the makeup that I was referring to prior.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's obviously trying to be incognito and stuff, and he pulls Dennis in here and says, I'm only here for the duck, although he finds out that the poison dart that was injected into the Gemini twins, he rolls a little thing across and sniffs it or looks at it and says, Mercury, who would have access to Mercury?
Who
and
would have
the
access?
The fucking blacksmith, that's who. Go check out that dude. So now he's like, all right, give me some duck.
Give me some duck.
Give me
the
some
restaurant
duck.
Is fucking trashed. Russell Crowe is a piece of shit. Make me some duck. There's like bodies everywhere.
Hey, editor's note. I got to jump in here quickly because while we were recording, I bumped or touched something and my microphone shut off for like 45 seconds and I lost that audio. And what Chad and I were talking about was you missed out on a hilarious discussion of why the cook should be cooking Russell Crowe some duck and the shenaniganery that happened around that. So it's, unfortunately, that best part of the podcast, hilarious, possibly award-winning, was lost to the ether. So imagine hilarity ensuing, and I will drop you back in right here where Chad and I are continuing to discuss Russell Crowe and the man with the iron fist. Enjoy.
All right. So yeah, Thaddeus takes X-Blade here and they're sort of reviving him and getting him back to his healthful status so he can hopefully help them beat the Wolf Clan and Bronze Body and all the dickheads that are causing a ruckus, if I may borrow a Wu-Tang term, in Jungle Village here.
Yeah. Might as well just say it, like, Thaddeus ain't nothing to fuck with.
Thaddeus ain't nothing to fuck with, as we once were told. And, we get the couple shots here of Thaddeus blacksmithing and doing his thing, and Russell Crowe, Jack Knife, with his cool little rice collector hat there, walking around, doing his thing.
Yeah, the Raiden. We call it the Raiden hat.
That's a much better way to call it.
I was accidentally using the term that I thought was the appropriate term, actually had racist connotations, and you corrected me, and I'm like, So I call it the Raiden hat.
I think the Raiden hat's the better way to call it.
That is not offensive.
But now we get Russell Crowe back here with his ladies, and she's like, don't you want to come back and have some pleasure? Or whatever. No, what did he say? Something about that was pleasure.
Before
that
business.
Was business. This is pleasure.
Yeah, that was business. This is pleasure. So he's like,
killing motherfuckers is what I
tapping like. Tapping ass is his business. But what he really likes to do is shove knives up men's assholes and kill them. Like, he basically says that. Yeah.
Great degree of violence.
Yeah.
But now, sadly, Thaddeus, the RZA, gets captured here and taken to this little shop where they torture his ass. And eventually, Bronze Body comes out here and chops his motherfucking arms.
Well, firstly, when the lions catch him, like, they grab him, right? Like two guys are holding him by the arms. And then Buddy drops that big fucking metal monkey fist on a pole right on top of his head.
Right on his head.
Like, I was like, whoa. Because, like, you know, throughout the film, I'm fantasizing about this metal fist on a stick. And I'm just like, man, you could smash somebody in the face. You could hit them in the chin. But they fucking just bop them right on top of the head. Like, straight down. Like, when Legere had that fucking cast and just started knocking people out with it. Like, that's what happens to the fucking RZA. That's pretty cool.
It was pretty great. Yeah, if you're trying to make somebody unconscious, that is a good way to do it. So yeah, they tie him up here and beat his ass in this little hut, and Bronze Body heats up this giant ass blade in the fire to the point where it's red ass hot, and they just hold his arms down here and chop both of his fucking arms off and leave him for dead.
Yeah.
Goddamn, son. That was hard. They do chop his arms off, I believe, above the elbows. This is a bit of a continuity thing if you watch. Pretty sure they chop his arms off above the elbow, but later when he makes his iron fists, namesake of the movie, his elbows are very clearly visible below, or I guess above where the fists are. So, whatever. I mean, they could have chopped it off just below the elbows. What do I know? I don't give a shit. It works.
Yeah, but I mean, like, here's the thing. This is like that Dave Chappelle, like, when Keeping It Real goes wrong. Because they basically have him. He's tied up. They're kicking the shit out of him. And they're like, hey, listen, you're going to just make weapons for us now. And you're going to make some awesome weapons. Or we're going to fuck you up, like, really, really badly.
But
so
good.
why don't you pledge your allegiance to us? And he goes, no. And then they fucking chop his arms off. I'm telling you, man, if I'm in a fucking no-win situation and there's a guy made out of metal, right, that basically says, you're going to make weapons for me, I'd be like, yeah, okay, sounds good. How about I meet you guys tomorrow? Yeah, I'll meet you tomorrow. It'll take me about 3 days to make these weapons. And then I'd find my fucking chick and I would leave Shanghai. Like, I would just
leave. The fuck out. Yeah.
Like, how are they going to find me? Well, I mean, he is a black guy in China, you know,
well,
150 years ago. But, you know, he could fucking, but there's also another billion people there. He could blend in.
You could blend. You could totally blend. You say,
but
yeah,
he basically
list.
Says
oh.
no. And like the effect of when Batista's chopping his arm off, like it looks good. It looks legit. It looks realistic. It looks good.
Yep.
They do a lot of shots of RZA, and then, of course, they're cutting to Silver Lion, like, laughing and really enjoying it. Like,
that's
going to hurt.
Sting.
Yeah, that's going to sting. but, yeah, they fuck him up, but good. It's pretty violent. Like, it's pretty violent, but it's decent.
Yeah, it looks good, man. It looks good. They leave him there to the rats, quote unquote, as they say. But we also get cuts of Jack Knife out there watching him go through this. So Jack takes him and saves his life and brings him down into this little, I don't know, spider hole, whatever the fuck he's got hidden away in his little steampunk fucking observatory basement thing, whatever the fuck he's got. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, there's like a little hatch in the basement of what looks like a stable or something like that. But you know. And then he's got, like, a bunch of fucking, like, round-bottom beakers and stuff like that. Like,
goddamn Oscar the Grouch chemist lab underneath the stable.
Yeah,
like,
he's got a huge chemist lab. Like, wait, why do you have the big chemist lab? Like, it's pretty fucking crazy.
Aren't you here on furlough for some pussy? Like, what? How did you get this place? Like, how did you?
Yeah. I have come here for one thing and only. I'm coming here to get some pussy and some drinks. And if I have time, build a chemistry lab in the fucking basement of a stable. Yeah, set up a fucking lab in the basement of a stable, which is probably not, you know, the cleanest of places for his fucking open wounds.
Oh, it is not 100%, because he gets Thaddeus here to basically get drunk, because he gets that metal flat press and it says, we have to cauterize your wounds.
Yeah,
we have to cauterize your wounds. Which, wouldn't the blade that Batista cut his arm with do that already?
Well, I thought that's what kept him alive, because it was a hot blade that would have cauterized it.
You don't have to brand the end of his arms again and like re-traumatize the fucking
guy.
Yeah,
so he's like, oh, now we're gonna do it, because his arms look like his arms look legitimately like. Two packs of bologna.
Oh yeah, he's got
like,
little T-Rex
arms. You
know,
you buy the full bologna
full roll,
log.
Yeah,
like that's what his fucking arms look like.
So yeah, his wounds heal, as they say, surprisingly quickly. And I love that he says, "How do you feel?" It's like, well, I, you know, feel like fucking assholes in a bag is what I feel like, because my arms have been cut off. So he tells him what to do so that they can make the arms. And they get to work on making his hands back again and making all kinds of weapons and shit so that Jackknife and Thaddeus and X-Blade can get together to beat Bronze Lion and Silver Lion and Brass Body, kind of in that order, with Madam Blossom thrown in there for good measure, because what's-his-face? Jackknife fucks off in some capacity. I forget what happens to Jackknife. He gets shot or stabbed or brutalized in some way.
Thaddeus is just fucking laying in the bed.
Like the fucking,
you know,
Metallica
with,
video
with
for
no
one.
Arms. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the Metallica video. Yeah. Please, God, help me! S-O-S.
And then
we get the flashback, which is actually, I liked the flashback. Like, I thought it was great. Like, first of all, I thought it was great because fucking Pam Grier.
Pam Grier's in it.
Yeah, it's, again, I think that this is probably the best place for this to be introduced as opposed to chronologically.
Yes.
But I do find that the main storyline just drifts a lot, you know? Like, it just kind of drifts, and I'm like, oh, okay, now we're going to go down this corridor where he's the slave, and then he meets the monks. Like, it's a good chunk of the film, and it is well done, and it does serve the story. But again, I find that overall, the overarching story of the protagonist is really meandering.
Yeah, it is. And I find this, I do like the flashback, but I find it pulls attention away. You know, like, I guess, I don't know if it could have been shorter or not, but like, RZA looks cool. They did a good job of making him look younger, and when, you know, his afro looks fucking awesome. And they do a good job of explaining when he gets to the monastery, how he takes to that really well and cuts his hair off because of that. And it kind of explain his look and why he is the way he is. I like that a lot. I don't know, man. I found it just kind of pulled away a little bit, and I was like, okay, fuck, can we move this along a little bit? Like, it was, I found it, I don't know. I don't know why. I wish I could put my finger on why this didn't grab me the way it kind of, the way I thought it would when I saw it.
I mean, like, when he gets his freedom papers, right, that he gets, he's no longer a slave, he's free. And then basically these two guys come in, start talking mad racist shit at him, like mad racist shit. And then, of course, Thaddeus is just trying to leave and grabs his kit bag and pulls his kit bag, which makes the guy trip. And he falls fucking headfirst onto an anvil, which, Jesus, that would definitely kill
him. Dude, it killed him. And
100%.
When they show his friend turn around, just the way they shot that guy with the sideburns, it looked just like Champ from fucking Anchorman. And I wanted him to go, whammy!
Champ kind whammies.
When he hit his head off the fucking anvil, that's all I could see in my head was whammy.
That would be fucking awesome. And then he bites into a chicken wing. Because Champ kind loves
chicken
wings.
Some chicken wings.
But I did like, they shot that in black and white. And then, of course, the only thing that was in color was the
blood,
lanterns, the fire, and then of course the blood on there. So I mean, it's not bad. And then of course we go back to the Russell Crowe and the RZA talking, and then we get another flashback because he left the U.S. The boat called Destiny crashed on the shore. Everybody
the boat
died.
I was on crashed.
The RZA was washed.
It was a storm.
The boat.
A goat hit me with his horns in the dick.
a goat hit me.
Everything went wrong. These bald men showed up.
The ship hit an iceberg. Whammy.
This motherfucker kept saying whammy in my ear.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, the monks find him on this rocky ass beach here and take him to the monastery, and we get his little journey through the monks in the monastery and whatnot. And I love the big gate here where they take him into the monastery.
Yeah, man, that was really
fucking
cool.
Cool looking gate. And they sort of get him back to health after his ordeal on the ship, and he becomes a monk. He decides to stay there and be a monk. And we get introduced to Gordon Liu.
Yes, I was about to say. He is awesome. Like, he I think I'm okay with this scene kind of taking so long, not even long, but just kind of away from the main story, because he's really captivating.
Yeah, he is.
And the shots that RZA gets, like, there's some really cool shots of them in the monastery. There's shots where he's, like, backlit and the lights, like, coming through the windows. When he's shaving his head, there's candles that are bokeh'd. Like, there's a lot of, there's some of the best shots in the film are this section.
Yeah, I love this. The reclining Buddha behind Gordon Liu there looks fantastic with all the candles in front of him. It looks really good. There's some cool ass shots here. This, because initially when you watch the movie, the first thing you see is presented by Quentin Tarantino. Tarantino really had nothing to do with this movie. He didn't produce it or write it or direct it or anything like that. He just sort of lent his name to it for publicity because he's tight with both RZA and with Eli Roth. But because of that, when they wrote this movie, the abbot played by Gordon Liu in the storyline is actually an ancestor of Pai Mei from Kill Bill Part 2.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
It's like his great-grandfather or some shit of Pai Mei. So
That is so
awesome.
They
wrote that in as a tie-in with the whole Tarantino universe, which is kind of cool. I thought that was neat.
I love the way Tarantino writes, and I actually will say that the title of the chapter, The Cruel Tutelage of Pi Mei, like, I just thought that was awesome. Like, The Cruel Tutelage. Like, I was like, fuck, I love that.
It's a great way to frame it. And the character of the abbot, Gordon Liu, wasn't supposed to originally play that. That was written by the RZA for his kung fu teacher, a guy named Shi Yan Ming.
Oh, really?
And that was who was supposed to play it, but Shi Yan Ming couldn't get permission to return to China to film this in Shanghai. So I assume Shi Yan Ming lives in the States, because RZA trained for, I think it was 2 or 3 months, for a couple hours a day in Hungar to get ready for this, because he does some kung fu in it. So his little teacher was supposed to play it, but because of that, they couldn't get it, and they got motherfucking Gordon Liu, who is awesome and ties in with everything.
So what a great backup. Oh,
you're not going to get a better backup than that.
I really do love the way that they framed it up. Like, he's showing all the chi points and the meridians on the gold statue, which actually,
flash forward,
you know, will come in fucking handy.
A little bit of foreshadowing.
Soon enough. But basically, yeah, that whole flashback was pretty awesome. And then, of course, while that's going on, they're forging his arms. And the voiceover is talking about, you know, if your chi is strong enough, your chi can move into other objects and you can control those objects, which is, in essence, these iron fists.
Fists of
and,
iron.
And he slips his little stumps in, and somehow his elbows grow back.
He's part salamander, you know, he's got a little bit of that in him.
He's part salamander. Yeah, so he got his elbows back, and now he's, you know, rocking these iron fists. It's pretty
rocking
dope.
Fists, yo. I like that Thaddeus cuts his hair off with the blade, which looked painful as fuck, but he becomes a student here. He's walking with the abbot. I like that scene a lot, where the abbot is kind of taking Thaddeus under his wing and teaching him the lessons of how to control his ki, his chi, whatever, however you want to pronounce that. And it's good, man. I really like this section, even though it does pull away from the main story. I like it.
Yeah.
And they cut back here, and we got what's his face, Thaddeus and Jackknife here talking about, you know, if you help me, I'll help you forge my greatest weapons, and which would be, of course, his fucking arms.
Yeah.
I like the scene here where Russell plunges his hand into the mold to make the fists. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, you know, like, Russell's a big motherfucker now.
He is.
Like, you know, he's big
got
man.
Some,
he's just a big
got
man
some
now.
Girth on him.
I'm not gonna insult him, man. Like, you know, people put on weight when they get old. That's fine.
Well, and
he's been
successful.
That's the way
he looked like a bad motherfucker in Gladiator.
Yeah.
So he goes up and down as needed. And I think this was like we said, it's a quick 10-day project for him. So I'm sure he's just chilling, playing in his band and watching fucking rugby. He doesn't give a fuck. So he's going to show up and do this thing, and he's in the shape he's in, and he'll make it work. But yeah, I do like this. They form the little arms here, and then we show all the little meridian points or whatever, the two little special points in the neck of the bronze body. Get it? Bronze body. And all the incense is burning and shit. And that one monk doing the one finger fucking handstand push up on the railing. What the fuck?
Dude, that was insane. Like, that was awesome. Like, it didn't look ridiculously stupid.
It looked fucking cool.
Yeah, it looked good.
And the scenery behind it looked awesome. Like, you could tell whatever was done very well. Yeah, we go back here now. Thaddeus gets his arms, and they pivot, or they put the little pin in there to latch that shit onto his arms, and boom, he's got his shit now. He's a man with the iron fists. He's now the title character of the movie. For realsies this time.
For realsies this time. And, and again, magically gets his elbows
back. When he punches the goddamn anvil and breaks that shit apart, that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think somebody's like, is this, are these good? Like, are these going to work? And he was like, yeah, check this shit out, motherfucker. Bam! And breaks the anvil.
Check this shit out, motherfucker. I will say, like just talk about the fist design, the way that they're put together. Like, you can tell that obviously that they're light. He can move the fingers and stuff like that, but they look heavy duty.
Yes.
Like they look awesome. Like there's a lot of detail in them and all the different points and extra work on them. Like they look legit.
Yeah, they do. They put a good amount of work into those, and it really shows in how they look on screen. Like all the other stuff in here too. Like all the weapons and all the stuff they actually use, the little accoutrement that the fighters have for themselves.
Yeah.
There's really not a weak link here. Actually, that's not true. The one weak link that I would say is Russell Crowe's little gun knife thing. Because when the blade spins a little bit later, I'm like, fuck off with that shit. Like, just make it a scary knife.
Fuck. Fuck off.
I'm a little angry at that knife, but...
I'd like to make a martial arts film with, like, no budget. So, like, they don't actually have, like, commas or weapons, but, like, they have, like, fucking household items, like... half a brick in a pillowcase, like that type of shit. And they're actually fighting with that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I thought that'd be amazing.
Just take out a big fucking serving fork. Like, be like, back, what's up?
Yeah, like one of them's Dutch and he's got these fucking wooden shoes with points on the on the toes. It's just like, oh, the Dutchman kicks. He's a shin kicker. He's a fucking shin kicker. Just like, watch out.
Just pull out the chopsticks and stab a guy in the neck with them.
Yeah, yeah, that type of
fuck
shit.
Yeah, that's what we need to do. They do have a funny scene, speaking of chopsticks, where RZA and Jack Knife and X-Blade are having dinner. And RZA tries to take two chopsticks out of the bowl that has a bunch of them. And he just tips the bowl over and fucks them all up. And Russell Crowe's like, hey, man, spoon. Just fucking use a spoon. What are you doing? Baby steps, asshole.
Baby steps. But again, I got to give fucking kudos to the set designer, because I wanted those goddamn dumplings.
I was like, good.
Those dumplings look so good. Yeah. Like, those dumplings looked so good.
I think they just got the caterer, the on-site caterer, to just bring a bunch of food in, because I was like, fuck, that looks really goddamn tasty.
Fuck. I really want to eat those. Yeah.
Right now.
Pretty good.
So then we get a cut to Lucy Liu showing Silver Lion here and Bronze Lion the little passageway with the coochie key. And,
yeah. That was weird.
That was weird. It's like, you got a coochie key for real? But, you got a coochie key hole.
Right. What, like, there's like a wooden woman naked carved onto a settee.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you slam a giant oversized key into her snatch, which opens up a secret passage. It's like, oh, all right.
Fuck. Yeah, every now and then you're just like, what is happening in this movie? Like, what is going on?
What in the fuck is going on here? Passageway looks pretty cool. Like, they've got some good lanterns. When they get down into the room, like, it's very ornate. It's dark. You know, everything's got kind of like a greenish tinge to it. And essentially, you know, they're going to be downstairs. Lucy Liu is like, I'm going to take 3% of the gold and I'll keep it hidden for you. And they're like, well, I don't fucking pay you 3%.
Paying you
jack shit. And then they're like, hey, it's better to give her 3% than to deal with 100% if the jackals steal it. And they're like, all right, we'll have a deal. And then Lucy Liu's like, ha ha, all right, boys. Glad we could come to this arrangement. And they all kind of nod. And then after Lucy Liu leaves, they're like, we're going to kill that bitch and give her nothing. Like,
cut that bitch's head off.
We're going to cut her head off and stick it in that fucking wooden coochie doll upstairs.
And then now we get the plot here. Back to X-Blade and Thaddeus and Jackknife and the little kid. I don't know where this little kid stealing dumplings come from. But he, the little kid, knows of the secret passageway. And they all try and plan to figure out, okay, we're going to go in and take this gold and fuck these guys up. And everybody can start sucking. We're going to win.
Yeah, everybody wants that gold.
So yeah, they hike the Lucy Liu's under here and they take the 3% of the gold. And she, Lucy Liu, tells Silver Lion that the whole place is rigged with traps and shit. So get a little bit of a flash forward there, a little bit of foreshadowing about what's going to happen. Because I honestly forget, this is my second watch of the movie here while we're doing it, but I forget what the traps were.
She basically just says the traps will cut your dick off and make you into a woman.
Which, is
if
awful.
If you're not careful. Yeah, it's awful, because then you'll be working here at the fucking Pink Blossom.
That's right.
Fucking, you imagine Silver Lion in a fucking tub and Russell Crowe trying to fucking shove an anal bead up his ass. I like how we have the Asian elf. He finally pulls his hood back, and it's revealed who he really is.
Yes. Yeah, the little weird Asian Gandalf guy there. He looks pretty good, though, like as a, whatever he is, a wizard or whatever the fuck he is. He looks
pretty
cool.
Yeah, he looks like an elf in a Chinese stage play of Lord of the Rings.
He totally does. He just needs those little Dorf on Golf knee feet where he just comes out like half height and just come out. Oh, I'm looking.
It's me, Legolas.
Maybe that's just my need for comedy.
Yeah.
Why are you comically short? I don't know. Fuck off.
Fuck off.
So the girl's in the bathtub here. Bathtubs. There's multiple bathtubs here. They're all wearing fucking bikini tops and bottoms and like granny panties and shit.
Yeah. They're all totally dressed.
They're all completely dressed in this. Literally. Fucking call girls in a whorehouse in a bathtub together, completely dressed. It's fucking weird. And then Lucy Liu comes in.
Yeah, but this is Lucy Liu giving her speech here, where at the time she was giving the speech, I wasn't exactly sure what she was preparing them for. She's like, all right, everybody, get ready. I thought she was just going to be like, all right, everybody, let's get down. We're going to take a lot of dick today. dick.
That's mouths, a lot of dick.
Asses. Yeah. Fucking vaginas, titties, two dicks at a time. You're going to be really busy. Yeah. But actually, she's fucking setting up for something a lot more sinister. But it's like a whore pep talk.
It is like a whore pep talk.
She's the patent of whore pep talking.
Yeah. She's like, oh, the power has always been with men, but we know it's always right here, pointing to it. And then they're like, we're going to turn that shit around, and we're going to take that shit right now. With power of the pussy, and we're gonna bring it around, and you guys better get the fuck ready and powder your noses and powder your asses, and let's fucking rock this place. So
get ready, because there's gonna be a lot of lions coming in to get at your vertical axe wound. So let's rock.
We're gonna put them axe wounds in their forehead. So get this shit ready. Get your little fucking tongue darts ready, there, Chickabaloo.
Yeah,
they have that little speech you here. Lucy Liu looks fucking awesome. Just as a side note. She's great. I really like her.
Good actor.
She's a great actor. Yeah. And all the girls in the tubs do a great job of kind of just shutting the fuck up and paying attention to her. And they're not like later on when they start assassinating all the lions. Again, they do a pretty great job.
Oh, this is one of my favorite parts, to be honest.
Yeah. When the whore rebellion.
Yeah. The whore rebellion is actually really cool.
Yeah.
The whore rebellion just running down the hall, fucking lifting their skirts up, screaming, shaking their pussies at them. Oh my God, run!
What is happening? Pussy is rebelling. So yeah, Lucy Liu comes out here, the lions come in, and she's like, hey, tonight the pink blossom's yours, take the whores, do your thing, do whatever you want, up to you guys. And then all the girls come down and take the lions and go up to their rooms. And, chaos ensues.
Yeah, and of course there's the scene with the entire police force is across the street from the Pink Blossom.
Yes.
And they're like, well, the gold is in there. And they're like, should we go tonight or shall we go tomorrow? And they're like, fuck it, we're going to go tonight because there is a lot of whores in there.
And we get Batista, Bronze Body, walking into Thaddeus's girl's room here.
Yeah.
And taking her, and you're like, oh, man, god damn it.
You're like, god damn it. Of all the whores and all the...
And all the pink whorehouses.
So you're just like, oh, man. Well, I mean, you know that she's a prostitute, so you can expect that is going to happen to her anyway. But the fact that it's Bronze Body is like, oh, man, the guy that cut my goddamn arms off, that guy.
Now he gets my girl, too. Man, come on,
son. His heart is a goddamn rock. He has a brass cock.
He has a brass dukakis.
Brass Dukakis.
Brass Michael Dukakis. So yeah, we get a bunch of sex scenes. Sort of this cool Kill Bill overhead taxi driver sex scene where they're going from room to room here.
Yeah, they did a, you know, they did a good job with that. Like, there's some camera work that's actually pretty good in this film. Like, you know, there's, I don't know if like a steady, if it's like a steady cam at points as they're moving around. But then, like you said, that overhead shot of all the rooms of the fully dressed whores having sex.
I don't get why they're fully dressed. It's so fucking weird.
It is a bit weird, but.
And then Madame Blossom does the little castanet clicky clicky thing and the little tongue darts. They start stabbing motherfuckers left and right.
Honestly, that was fucking cool.
Like, yeah, the little cobra bite kiss thing. That was cool, man.
That was cool. But let me just like back it up for 1 second.
Yeah.
The set design of each of the whores' bedrooms was quite good. Like,
oh, it was great. Actually, yeah. That was great.
The way that it's done up, like one room will be red. You know, there was another room that was teal and another room that was like yellow with sunflowers and stuff.
Yeah,
it
you know,
awesome,
it was a
but...
Valentine's themed room and a nautical themed room. And a, you know.
Yeah, the nautical themed room. Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard, sailor. I'm Julie, your cruise director.
Hoi, how are you?
Hoi, hoi. But yeah, when she's walking around and she's doing the click of the castanets, and every time she clicks it, another one of the women drops down, and now they're all dressed in assassin's black, and they just come down into frame. It's actually really good, and the camera's moving and following Lucy Liu as these women are dropping out of the ceiling after performing that silver tongue dart on all the men, except for Batista.
Except for Lady Silk, who got stabbed in the neck, but he turned into fucking metal. And he starts laying the fucking major pain on Lady Silk here, throwing her overhead, throwing her around the room and shit.
Yeah, whoever drew the straw that was going to get Batista was going to die. It's
it just happened to be her, unfortunately.
It just happened to be her. Like, she's dead. Like, Riza's like, oh, fuck, man, my life is so shitty. And it's like, yeah, well, your girlfriend was murdered after a dude had sex with her. He murdered her, so she's probably worse off than you.
Yeah. Oh, I would not. Yeah, you can take the probably out of that fucking sentence.
But, yeah.
I do like when
he's
all
like,
the...
I got no girl, and I can't jack myself now. Well, he's got those metal hands.
You just have to be careful. Get super turned on, tear your dick off.
Yeah. Yeah, tear your dick off. Oh, shit. then he goes right to the forge, starts making a cock.
The man
with the iron dong.
With the iron schwanz.
Schwanz.
All the girls jump over the railing here, and they have those silk with the, like, razor blades and shit on the end.
That was cool, man. That was really cool.
That was cool as fuck. They kill one of them. Lucy Liu does that wheel kick and chops that dude's head off. That was
awesome.
She kicks
a guy's head off, which was really fucking great. It's
fucking wicked. All the girls wrap Batista up with the silks. And he is having none of that shit.
Thaddeus comes in and sees that his chick is dead. But in the close-up, when he's holding her, he looks like he's wearing the fucking coat that Roy Batty was wearing in Blade Runner. Like, in the rooftop scene. It's like, yeah. I was like, is he wearing a goddamn future jacket from fucking Blade Runner? Anyway, it's a good shot, but yeah.
I like that.
She's dead.
She did, unfortunately. X-Blade and Jackknife here go in. The kid is trying to find the secret coochie door, and a couple dudes come out here. And then we get a good little fight here with X-Blade and a couple of the guys. And X-Blade uses the first shot of the gun knife where I always bring a gun to a knife fight. fucking stupid ass line. But whatever. It was all right. I like Lucy Liu's fan that she fights with all the blades and shit on the outside. That was fucking cool.
Yeah, that was pretty dope. That was pretty dope. And then Buddy's got that goddamn monkey's paw.
Yeah.
He's trying to claw Russell Crowe's face. And,
that was fucking cool.
He's holding it with him. And then, of course, that's when he realizes that there's a trigger on the handle of his knife. And it fucking blows Buddy's head off.
Fucking blow it. Awesome. I liked in the main scene where Lucy Liu is fighting the guys. All the cherry blossoms are blowing around from the tree that they got pulled over.
Yeah, that was pretty dope, man.
Nice touch.
That was pretty dope. And she does some she does some moves that are pretty dope. Like as she's running around, like the guys with the crossbows are taking shots, and then like it's total chaos, but we get that cut of RZA in slow motion with all the chaos going off behind him. Like that was a really great shot. Probably the best shot in the film, really.
Yeah, that was very cool.
In my opinion.
We get the kind of weird, almost comic book paneling of the fight when RZA comes out here.
Yeah, a little bit.
I found that a bit distracting, to be honest. Although I did like when he punched the guy in the face so hard his fucking eyeball flew out.
That was cool, really fucking awesome. But yeah, the comic book panels just, I don't know. I think that those shots were a little bit dark, which is kind of cool stylistically. But when you put them up on the screen and the comic book panels, you couldn't quite digest what you were seeing quite as well. Because they were dark shots, so it was kind of hard to see what was in each panel.
And I wish in this scene here where Lucy Liu, where Madame Blossom fights Bronze Lion here, I wish they had held on a couple of scenes a little bit longer, because the big staircase behind them and the poses that they hit and the cherry blossoms everywhere, like it's very reminiscent of the rooftop scene with Lucy Liu and the bride in Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Where just hold on that scene for just a second where everybody's frozen except for the petals floating around.
Yeah.
Because it looks fucking awesome. Like, it looks really good. They cut very, very quickly. I think the editing kind of fucks with a little bit here and makes me like, okay, you're not going to show anything cool. Like, or if you do, it's for half a second. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit of a quick edit. But it's all right. But, I mean, it is kind of cool, though, how that razor silk, you know, they use that to tie up Bronze Lion, and of course Lucy Liu just, you know, stabs him, which is pretty badass.
It's very cool, man. It's very cool. The RZA here doing his double punches and his swing throughs on these all these lion dudes. Decent little fight. I don't know, man. It's, I don't know what doesn't work for me. If it's the striking at the camera, or if it's that I'm not seeing kind of choreography strung together.
Yeah,
the cuts are really fast.
Yeah.
It's not like a Bruce Lee film where you're seeing a fight. You're seeing a block and then a cut and then a punch and then a cut and then another double punch and then a cut. Like, the editing fucks with it, I think, is one of the main reasons why I don't dig it as much as I think I would have in a different editor's hands.
Well, when it does that, like, you don't get the, like we always call the test of squeezinitis, right? When somebody gets hit really hard in a good martial arts film, your fucking nuts tighten up.
Yep.
And do you remember even in The Raid when they made those ceiling tiles out of rubber, but Ika Uwais just grabs that guy by the side of the head and it's just like smash, 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 smashes his head into the tiles, and the tiles are breaking and his head is like, naturally his head's falling down due to gravity, but as it's falling, like, he's bashing his head, like, you're just like, oh, like, and you get amped up because you can feel those hits. When they do the real fast edit, you kind of lose that impact and feeling.
Yeah, you really do. And this fight between Madame Blossom and Bronze Lion is good. Like, the Kung Lee Lucy Liu fight is a good fight, man. It's well choreographed, but the editing fucks with it, I think.
Yeah, it does, like,
it
for
would
sure.
Have been better. She saves the little kid because the girls save Madame Blossom with the razor ribbons there.
Yeah.
She kills Lion, but then the thing flies back at the kid. So it's, I don't know, it could have been edited better to make it more of that whoa kind of a feeling.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
But Russell Crowe fights Legolas here.
I don't know why. Legolas.
And then we get X-Blade here fighting Silver Lion in a tremendously obvious Enter the Dragon homage here.
Yeah, big homage there. I did like the way that they set that scene up. I did like the way that they had the little torches kind of laid out. You know, overall, it's like, it's a really valiant effort.
It is, man. It looked all right. Like, they did a good job. And they're cutting between the scenes from that scene now to RZA, who punches a fucking dude's head off.
RZA punches a guy's head off. Like,
yeah, RZA killed a guy.
Yeah, it's just like Nick Cage. Face
Nick Cage
off.
Face
face off. No more drugs for that man.
No more drugs. We should do that for Partial Arts. That's a good
Yes, man. That is a great movie.
So now we get the showdown here between Bronze Body and the man with the iron fists, Thaddeus. This is a fun little fight. I don't mind this fight at all.
Yeah, it's put together well. I will say it again. I love the special effects that they do for Bronze Body, how his body changes when he gets hit hard.
Yeah.
It looks good. It looks really legitimate. And I'm not 100% sure how they did it. I know it's computer generated, but fuck, they spent a lot to make that look as realistic as possible.
Yeah, I'm curious if that was where the majority of the budget went, because he's not covered in green, so it's not a green body thing.
No, they would do that. They would probably composite on top of it, frame right. for frame for frame. Like, it would be incredibly time-consuming to do it, but, you know, they'll probably do it.
Which is probably why they only did it body part by body part. Like, if he gets punched in the head, only his head turns to bronze.
Yeah.
If he gets punched in the stomach, only his stomach changes. Do you know what I mean? It's not his whole body all the time.
Yeah, and then the end, like, he just takes massive amounts of hits and then, you know, becomes yes. all bronze. But I like how when they're fighting, Riz is like, tiger style. I thought that was extinct. And he's like, I thought your clan was extinct. He's like, it is tiger style. And my clan is extinct because I killed them. Like, it's
what?
I love when villains drop that corny exposition. Like,
drop the bomb.
Good. Yeah, drop the bomb.
And so they scrap fight a little bit, but then we cut to Legolas and fucking Jackknife.
I will say, man, like, the Legolas versus Jackknife, the lighting in this is awesome, and the hairpiece that they have on Legolas there, I can't believe we keep calling him Legolas, the hairpiece, he looks like an Asian Legolas. The hair piece that they have on him, and he's backlit, and just the way his hair is moving and flipping with the there's haze in there, there's a little bit of smoke in there. It's really, really, the cinematography is really, really great. The lighting is really, really good.
Yeah, it's fun. He comes up out of that little tub that he falls into and sloshes his hair back like a fucking Sports Illustrated swimsuit model.
Yes.
And then they have that big fight at the end here, and you get Chekhov's fucking gears in the back there, where Russell Crowe gets that chain linked into them, and Legolas gets slowly pulled back into the gears.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And I like that he's like, I'll see you in hell, and the gears just slowly pull him in and explode his fucking brain everywhere.
Yeah. Like, okay, the brain explosion was awesome, because he's basically, you know, getting pulled into these giant cogs, and as his head disappears over the horizon of the cog, it just explodes blood
just
everywhere.
Boosh.
It's awesome. It's really, really cool. And then, of course, he's just like, I'll see you in hell. And then Russell Crowe's like, yeah, save me a seat by the fire. Like, save me a seat by the fire. I'll see you there.
So he sends him off to his fucking death. And, that's a wrap on Legolas.
Did he poison Russell Crowe's cigars? Did I miss that?
I think he did. I think he did something to the cigars, because Legolas explodes.
I'm just wondering if Russell Crowe actually was poisoned, like, and dies, like,
maybe, because he takes a drag off the thing,
and he's got like spots on his neck and stuff like that. So, I could have missed it.
Yeah,
I could have missed it, but I'm just wondering, because he's just like, you and I are the same. We just use different types of poison. And then Russell Crowe's like, ah, ha, ha, puffing away on his cigar, and then he's got these big marks on his neck. So
yeah, and then. After Crow takes the drag off the stogie there, we get the flashback down to Silver Lion and X-Blade having their little final standoff here, and X-Blade shoots and sticks Silver Lion to the wall like a fucking pinata. And
yeah, man.
That's pretty good, man. These two are good actors. I like both of these guys. Rick Yoon is fucking great.
Well, Rick Yoon, man, he was the fucking bad guy in Fast and Furious 1.
Yeah, he was.
In my opinion, the only fucking good one. But
yes.
I do like how he's got Silver Lion, like, bolted to the wall, and he's like, this is my gold. And he's like, yeah, well, fucking have it.
Yeah.
Throws a knife here. And then, you know, drops all the gold right on him.
Yep, which, it's, you know, awesome. Legit would fucking kill you.
Oh,
and
yes.
And then we get,
yes,
sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, yes. We get, gold would kill you if it fell on you out of a fucking train car.
Ceiling high fucking train car.
Yeah.
And then we get Bautista here looking to smash Thaddeus with a fucking telephone pole. And yeah. Thaddeus sees that his neck has been a little bit of dot of blood from where his girl had stabbed him. It didn't penetrate, yes. but it had a little nick on him. But he's like, oh, flashback to the bronze body. That's where the point is. I'm going to punch them points with my iron fist. And then he just starts laying the paint on him.
Yeah, and it looks good. And he looks like a fucking guy made out of metal.
He does, and Thaddeus dents his fucking body in.
Yeah.
The dent body looks awesome, and then as Thaddeus walks away, he just kind of looks at his hands, and they quick flashback to cutting his hands off and killing his girl, and he's like, oh, wait, fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy. I'm going to use my iron fist. I do like the move, man. Like, he takes this big wind-up, he runs, and as he's jumping, like, there's all kinds of gears and fucking shit spinning around on his fucking iron fist, like he's going to work. Some device that are like Men in Black. But anyway, yeah, he punches his face and he explodes. It's actually good. Like, I like that part, man. I really did. Like, the wind.
I like that
blown.
A lot.
It's good job.
It made me laugh when they close up on Brass Body's face. Yeah, and it reminded me of Mr. Bill. Oh,
yeah.
No!
Oh, like, no!
And so he's gone. All the bad guys are gone. Russell Crowe comes out here because the Emperor or the King's guard comes out here to annihilate the whole body house here. And get the gold back. And,
yeah, they got a goddamn Gatling gun.
Yeah, well, yeah, they do. The way RZA explains that earlier, he's like, these motherfuckers have a Gatling gun and that shit. And more bullets than China has rice.
Yeah.
It's a great line. But Jackknife comes out and is like, oh, we got Captain so-and-so from the fucking army and everything's okay. Stop. Don't shoot, please. I'm alive. Don't kill me. So they shut that shit down. And this is kind of the happy end. Well, I don't want to call it a happy ending wrap-up, but this is kind of the wrap-up to the movie where the gold gets returned to its rightful owner, and RZA and X-Blade hang out and become fast best of friends. Because I lost a father, but I gained a brother.
Mm.
And like, they're cool.
Like, and that would have been awesome if RZA would have been like, who are you calling brother? Like, that would have been amazing.
Call him brother.
Yeah.
And then Jackknife rolls by here on his horse in his regalia, shakes the iron hand, and... Thanks, man. Yeah, no, thank you. You're good. We're all good. I'm good. I'm out. Peace!
Right off on my horse.
I'm going to go fuck some hoes in Macau!
Macau! On my way!
And I think that's pretty much it, man. They peace
out.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe only goes on missions where the city has a brothel. Like, that's basically
it. That is it.
I go where the hoes at.
Listen, Mr. Knife. We're going to reassign you to a new city. Are there brothels there? I don't know. We'll find the fuck out before I go.
Find the fuck out. But yeah, man, like there's a lot to like about this film. Like, there really, really is. There's a lot to like about the film.
Yeah, there sure is.
It's not like something that is like, oh my God, I'm fucking crazy. I'm the man with the iron boner watching this. It's just, you know, it's good. It's really good. Like, I put it up there, but again, I'm not like, wow, that was amazing. I can't believe that I went through life without seeing that. I got to tell all my friends, you know, it's just there. Hey, man, it was an entertaining little romp, and I had fun.
Yep, I had fun, too. I enjoyed it, but it's not one of those ones I'm going to pull out and watch again and again and again.
Yeah.
Like a Bruce Lee movie or, you know, there's a bunch of other, like, I don't know, like John Wick or some shit like that, where the fighting is why I watched it. Like, it was good, but not one I'd pull out again.
Yeah, like the thing with John Wick 3, like, I'll pop that on every once in a while just because I feel like watching a guy get kicked to death by a fucking horse, right?
Like, yes.
And sometimes I like to see a guy killed with a horse.
Right? When I'm in a really bad mood and I want somebody to get a knife slowly pushed into their fucking eyeball, yeah. I will watch that movie.
Ew.
All right, man, what do you got for acting and soundtrack and Foley and all that shit for this movie?
Okay, so for soundtrack and Foley... I'm going to go high. I think that they did a good job. Like, even though there's like some rap music and stuff in that, I'm okay with it not being like historically accurate, but I think the Foley's good. I think that, you know, the background music is solid, and I kind of like the, you know, the hip hop beat at the end. Overall, I think that soundtrack and Foley, I'm going to go 4 fists out of 5.
Yeah, I'm going to be up there too. I'm going to go 4 fists out of 5 as well, because right off the bat, when you get that first fight scene and you get the straight up Wu-Tang joint right off the bat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fucking great song. And the like you said, the beat at the end comes in. Like, you can see RZA's influence in the music here, which is great.
I think RZA kicked fucking... I do, in a lot of ways, think that he kicked ass working on the story, the writing, starring in it, directing it. You have to give hats off. Like, that's a load of work for him to take on.
Oh, my God.
This film.
And for the most part, direct it, and
yeah,
the music,
for the most part, everything works. For the most part, it works.
Absolutely. Acting-wise, what do you got for that?
Acting-wise, I'm going to go 3 fists out of 5 for acting. And I don't think that the acting is necessarily bad. It's basically they're doing a lot of talking of exposition.
Yeah.
There are some moments that are actually good. When RZA's holding his girlfriend, like, that was an incredible shot, and you could actually feel his pain. I thought that was good. I really loved his time in the monastery. I thought that was good. I think Batista was great. You know, he doesn't have very many lines, but he was menacing.
Yep.
But I don't think that the script gave anybody anything really that made them stretch their legs. So I'm gonna give it 3 fists out of 5 for acting.
Yeah, I'm gonna go a little higher. I'm gonna go 3.5 just because I think, like you said, I think the script, while worked on for a long time by RZA and Eli Roth, I think it could have been tightened up even a bit more. I think that there was if I'm gonna pick a weak link. Fuck, and I hate to do it because it would be RZA, but still, he's good for the movie because his blacksmith character would be low-slung, low-key, kind of under the radar kind of a guy because he doesn't want to be fucking seen. He always wears the hood. He's trying to stay incognito and shit. So I don't even want to pick on him for that. You know, Russell Crowe's out there just chewing sets up because he's on there for 10 days and who gives a fuck, so he's going to let it fly. And everybody else, you know, they knew the strength. Like you said, they didn't give Batista a ton of lines. But he's great. Kung Lee as Bronze Lion, I don't know if he says anything. He just stands around and eats menacingly and kicks the fuck out of people.
Yeah.
Right? So he's great. He did a good job.
The one, I guess, that had the most lines, probably the best, from an acting standpoint, the person that's best used is Lucy Liu.
Yeah, she's great.
She has a couple of really little monologues, right? She's got a couple little monologues that work.
Yeah. Yeah, she was great. How do you rate martial arts in this one?
Martial arts, I'm going to go 3.5 fists out of 5. I don't think they're really fantastic. There are some moments that I really liked, which is why it kind of went a little higher than I initially thought. There's a couple of moments, like the brass body I thought was great. There's a couple of moments where there's some hits on there. The thing that I like best about the martial arts in this film, and it's going to sound weird, is the way that they did the lighting and the way that they did the slow-mo. When we're watching that final fight between Legolas and Russell, like, you know, the hair flying was really cool. There's scenes in the monastery that I thought were really, really cool. So I'm going to give 3.5 fists out of 5 for martial arts. The martial arts aren't as good as the way that the martial arts are treated as kind of that vehicle for them to be a catalyst for change.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go 3 fists out of 5 for martial arts just because the martial arts that are in it aren't bad. When you see Kung Lee fight, when you see Lucy Liu fight, but there's a lot of stuff in here that's like weird non-traditional weapons and stuff that are just kind of swinging it around and banging people on the fucking head and stuff.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And doing that spike suit and stuff, like Rick Yoon does a great job, but a lot of it is the suit. And darts and shit that fly out. So there's not a huge ton of martial arts in it. Lucy Liu has a couple nice kicks. The punches that are thrown are good punches. But a lot of it is flying around and a lot of it is extra martial arty kind of stuff. So I'm going to hit 3 out of 5 because what was done was good, but there wasn't really enough of it, I don't think, for me personally.
I agree with you there,
Would you use Sammo in this, Sammo Hung?
Yeah, I would. I think that the characters are really solid, so I wouldn't put Sammo in as an actor, but I think Sammo could lend a hand choreographing the fights a bit better. Like, I do think that that he could work well as a fight choreographer and drive a few of those fights, push them to be, you know, better with the martial arts.
Yeah, I would put Sammo Hung either or both as the fight choreographer and the editor.
Oh,
because I bet you if you put Sammo as the editor, he would straighten that shit up and make the shots longer and make it better.
Yeah.
So I would put him as both the fight choreographer and the movie's editor.
Yeah, that's a
great
point.
The fight scene editor.
Yeah, edit the fight scenes.
Where would you put William Hung?
Oh, I just have him as one of the whores, to be honest. I just have him as one of the many, many whores in the whorehouse. I just have him in a little kimono and going around with that little fucking silver tongue dart. Yep. That's where I'd put William Hung. Where would you put William Hung if you wanted to fuck
that's,
this
that's
movie
exactly
up?
What I thought of.
Yeah, okay,
that's exactly
awesome.
What I thought
yeah,
of.
Same
I was
thing,
like, I'd put
man.
Him as one
same
of the whores
thing.
In there. I'd have him as the one, like, lady boy for the fellas that like fellas.
Yeah, that's right. That's
there,
a good way to fucking...
You're that guy. Knock yourself out. Have him in there. That'd be awesome.
That
who would you
be
buy a beer?
Absolutely amazing. Who would I buy a beer for in this movie? I would buy a beer... In all seriousness, I'd buy a beer for the RZA, but...
Yeah, me too.
But I think that girl that was in the bathtub that had Russell Crowe's fucking round face in her bush, like, she deserves a beer to have to come
she
fucking gone through that. But no, I definitely would buy a beer for the RZA for, you know, putting this whole thing together, making something happen. So, Yeah.
Concept to execution, I would buy it for the RZA 100%.
Yeah, of course.
He definitely deserves it. But if I had two, the girl in the tub would be the second one.
The girl in the tub. Can you imagine that big fat face with two fucking butt plugs hanging out of his mouth?
Nope.
Breath,
sorry.
Smells like fucking quesadillas and shit. Like, oh, fuck.
I'll take the arms chopped off. Thank you.
Yeah.
And this was from 2012, so we don't need to remake it yet. We're still solid on that.
No, solid.
All right, man, that's a wrap on The Man with the Iron Fists. And coming up next, we're jumping back only slightly, not too far. We're a little bit forward of what we were on with Double Impact a couple weeks ago. So we are going back to 1993 for the third sequel of our podcast history, and we're hitting Best of the Best, Part 2 from 1993.
Oh, my God, yes, with Brockus and fucking Ralph Moeller. Yeah, man, I fucking I'm so fucking like Alex Frady's in that. It's like, did you kill Travis Brickley? Easily, you son of a bitch.
Easily,
I love
it. I crashed his head like a grape.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be fucking on like Donkey Kong next week. Next week, 1993, Best of the Best, Part 2 on You Have Offended This Podcast.
Editor's note, that fight was Yair Rodriguez versus the Korean zombie Dong Hyun Kim. Go look that fight up. It's amazing. The last, like, round, particularly the last couple seconds. But anyway, here we go. Back to the podcast.